someone was in the pod. The tracks go off in this direction. Look, sir, droids.
Guta, and welcome to the Gleep Glossary, our Star Wars Shine show on characters you don't know or like. And this installment is the Luxor Droids guy.
Oh, yeah.
Monumental figure in Star Wars. The guy that says he's a stormtrooper now. You got to understand that, first of all. He says Luxor Droids. Right. And the rest is written in history and collected in the book known as the Star Wars Essential Guide to Characters by Andy Mangala. I'm Eric Siskin. I'm joined with the whole gang here. Andrew.
Yo!
Steven.
Look, sir. Fat people.
Wait, this is a video episode? What? And for some reason, the dreaded Chris Cabin.
You got me, motherfucker. I'm right here.
Oh, I got you.
Come here. Come on.
Yeah. Uta Guta, you going somewhere, motherfucker? I don't think so. You sit down and you listen to Star Wars stuff.
Come here. Drive me. I do like... So the nickname for this character we're dealing with today is the Big Cheese, I heard.
What?
The Big Cheese. The biggest character. I was just riffing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I thought you meant he stinks.
No, he's like bigger. He's bigger than the Emperor, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bigger than Jesus. Davin Felth. Oh, Davin Felth. Yes, the Luxor Droids guy. What can be said about him? Well, oh, look, it's collected right here in front of me.
So is he Gavin Filth? Is that his name? Is he a porn star?
Davin Felth.
Oh.
D-A-V-I-N. Yes. Last name, F-E-L-T-H.
Yeah, so he's...
Davin Felth. Now, I remember when the... prequels came out, and then I was like, wait, so I'm confused. Were the stormtroopers also clones? What's going on? Did they go back to conscription, etc.? Well, now we know they did go back to human conscription. So Davin Felth could very well be recanonized any day now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
God, I'm holding my breath.
Oh, yeah.
I know I am, yeah.
Well, yeah, because he smells so bad. I mean, and he's filthy.
Just very early in the day for that type of...
This is an iconic line, an iconic scene. He picks up the little ring. He looks at it.
Yeah.
And he shows it to his buddy there.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, yeah.
It was satirized in that sort of racist scene in Spaceballs.
I know.
The combing the desert?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
a little something.
Because
the guys are combing the desert with like combs, and then the black gentleman has the afro pick. Yeah,
exactly.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he does. That guy's got a fun line though, huh?
We ain't found shit. I just thinking about it kind of makes me laugh. But you know,
product of another time. Much like when we decided to write this story about a stormtrooper that said, "Look, sir, droids." It's a different America. You have to take it with the grain. You know, it's coded a little, and it's the past. You know, we can't change it. And here we go. Indistinguishable from one another in their black and white armor, their skull-like helmets glaring, stormtroopers are a weapon of fear and an example of complete unquestioning conformity.
Wow.
Inspiring.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for Davin Felth, a trooper on Tatooine, mindlessness came to an end when he came face to face with the Force and the Rebellion.
Shit, that makes it sound so much more epic than it is.
Well, dude, get ready. He's not just the Luxor Droids guy.
Just a quick question. If you're a stormtrooper and you get stationed on Tatooine, like, that's got to be close to the bottom, right? Of like assignments. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, exactly.
I read in preparation for this, I read the short story again that's in The Tales of Mos Eisley, and it's definitely a shit assignment because he pissed off then Colonel Veers.
Oh, shit, dude. This is like, so Davin Felth is like the leader of like Chug-a-Lug House, and Veers here is like his you know authoritative nemesis throughout the ages.
That's pretty fair, yeah, because a lot of his story takes place on the Imperial training planet, and we will get there, I believe, in these coming sentences, perhaps. Like other stormtroopers, Davin wears a set of white plasti-steel protective armor over a black two-piece temperature-controlled body glove.
And it's very important. Those plasti-steel body armor does not repel blasters, does not repel lightsabers, doesn't really do much of anything.
not so
looks
much
pretty
the
sharp,
steel though. Part, more the plasti.
It's really annoying. That's what it helps do. Is if you were feeling unencumbered, it will annoy you.
The question I have about those things, like, what's the breathability? Are you sweating your sack off in there?
Well, just listen ahead here. The 18-piece outer shell includes an energy source and control devices. In theory, the armor forms an anti-blaster cocoon. Yeah, right.
Oh, in theory, indeed. But dude, go back to formula.
Back to formula.
But the number of blasted troopers throughout the galaxy bellies that fact. Stormtrooper helmets contain automatic polarized lenses, breathing filters, and comlink units. The belt packs house specialized survival equipment, concentrated rations, emergency batteries, and a spare handheld comlink.
Okay.
All of which definitely matter if this thing doesn't protect you from blaster fire.
Great observation.
The fuck? Shut the hell up. Oh, good. Snacks. Oh, I got shot. Who cares?
Yeah, you can have a snack before you die. Yeah. That might be a nice treat for you.
Sure.
A snack before you die, I think, or a snack before dying. Something like that I'm working on for my autobiography.
Ooh, yeah, well, like this.
That almost sounds like a Sartana title.
Yeah, that's totally.
Sartana's here. He'll give you a snack before dying.
Friend.
Yeah, and, you know, good spaghetti western series, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
And the comlink, you can call your boss and say, hey, I just got shot. And it went right through. Yeah, it went right through. Cut through this thing like butter. Thank you.
Yeah, and because you're calling your boss, it's like, oh, yeah, I was shot through the gut. Yeah, I'll be in tomorrow. I just need the afternoon off.
Yeah,
I'll be
in tomorrow. Yeah, just need to chill in the back to tank for a few hours.
Yeah, of course.
Can we scrub that part of the paragraph in the descriptor for these suits where they say they're blaster? No. No, you can't. Because they do. They do. You protect you from certain blaster fires, you know, fake blaster fires.
So although the Caridian training leaves all stormtroopers capable of surviving on any livable planetary surface, some elite troops are also trained in specialized units, such as the lightly armored sea troopers or for underwater worlds. I don't know if we ever saw those guys, but I'd like to. The cold assault troopers for frozen climates. I guess that's another word for the snow trooper outfit.
Right.
And the ultra light 0G stormtroopers for space work.
Wow. Ooh.
They fly now, I think is what we're getting at here.
The brand new Duff Dark.
The Imperial Navy controls stormtrooper training and assignments in the Imperial Starfleet, although the Imperial Army uses Navy-trained troopers to precede their own ground forces. Troopers act as a security troops and assault troops. How many times am I saying troops? Troopers act as security troops and assault troops in times of conflict or as honored guards for Imperial dignitaries and ranking officials. Their unwavering devotion to the Emperor is fanatical.
Troops.
Troops.
Somebody got to buy Andy a fucking thesaurus here, pal.
Well, the important thing is we're thanking the troops today. It's June, which is adjacent to Memorial Day, kind of.
So I wonder if they're not allowed to use the word soldiers.
Yeah.
Do they think that that's maybe too, like, You're kind of making fun of the military or something?
Yeah, maybe.
That's all I could think of.
But isn't troops the same thing? Maybe soldiers, maybe in the United Kingdom, they don't know what a soldier is.
I guess. Troops to me sounds more like fiction. Like that, I think of that more when I think of science fiction or like like old fiction stories, but like,
well, I mean, I think
soldiers it seems more militaristic. I don't know. Yeah. That's just my thought.
I think we're a scotch overthinking this, fellas. They are called stormtroopers, not storm soldiers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I feel like that is as far as we are going.
Sure.
So Davenfelth joined the ranks of the Empire as an 18-year-old. Like many others, he had the desire to serve his government, gain usable skills, and work toward a command position.
He's really trying to be all he can be.
It was only two weekends a year, so he
yeah, sure,
rolled the dice. And then, you know, the war has happened.
Yeah, they
used to just be Star. And then it became Star Wars. And
it's a good point. You can still push traditions around whenever you want, you know?
That's a plus. Those fucking. Although,
never mind.
Well, listen.
Don't get Uncle Eric going.
In case one of those lizard men are listening, I will say no more. But I will thank them for their service if they're a soldier or a troop.
Are you dating one of those doshes? Are you dating a dosh?
I heard she gets down with doshin, okay?
Oh. Doshin dirty. You down with OPD, dude?
Although he looked forward to the experience of the Imperial Academy, within 30 seconds of arriving on the military training planet of Caridia, his enthusiasm disappeared. For the next 6 months, Davin did whatever was necessary to survive, to make his superiors happy, and to become a stormtrooper. His roommate,
welcome to hell, numbnuts! You will not hit any targets!
You think they trained them not to hit the target?
Yes, exactly.
As a matter of fact, it is discouraged.
What are you doing hitting the broadside of the barn behind the target? Hit in the field. Hit in the field.
God damn it, Felth. You are the best goddamn stormtrooper I've ever seen. You don't shoot shit.
What is your problem, Felth? You hit that target square in the center.
Great buckets of bullshit, son. That was right between the eyes. What do you think you are doing?
I think you guys are going to like this next sentence here. His roommates were the tall Jeff.
No.
And the smaller, more muscular Michael.
This is getting a little sexy here. Yeah, what's Jeff, dude? What's Jeff packing? What do you think?
Well, he's definitely got a monster hog.
Sure.
Sure.
In the short story, it fleshed this out a little more. Jeff was eating like
ass.
Like I wish. He was eating like chicken tendies or something in the bunk or whatever.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
And space chicken tendies.
He hidden it from the superiors there, and he was offering some food to his new mates. Just one marvelous detail if you read the story. So despite many discomforts of academy life, Davin excelled and was placed with other top recruits in the special training for Colonel Veers's all-terrain armored transport detachment.
Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah, dude. Serious business. Davin was one of the few who finished the AT-AT training, or AT-AT training. It is interchangeable, turns out.
One's getting you yelled at less?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I think a lot of people say AT-AT. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah, I always said AT-AT because that's how I just read it.
I'm an AT-AT-ATST guy.
I'm going to be an AT-AT till I die because I am not going to sound like one of the aliens from Mars Attacks. AT-AT!
Oh, yeah. Yep.
AT-AT!
You know, actually, Steve, you just saying it AT-AT, ATST, and that's why I do it because it's AT-AT and then AT-ST.
Well, yeah,
you know?
Or is it AT-ST?
Yeah, and that's just
AST to AST.
The Ewoks made the fucking Empire go AST, AST.
Oh, they definitely did.
All right, so he finished that. He was one of the few that finished the ATAT training on a dry run during.
No, Felch, we will not be training you how to defend yourself against small bears. When would that come in handy?
You kick them, Private. You kick them. If you ever see a little bear, you kick them.
Steve, by the way, are you calling this guy Felch, man?
What is it?
Felch.
Felch.
Felch. Well, I'm you gonna, set the, here's the thing. We're doing this remotely. You set the room Gavin Felch, and I'm looking at it. All
I didn't say that.
Okay.
I called the room Gavin Felch because I thought it would be funny.
Well, I now typed I'm it into the, up. There it is. All right. Now I look at it.
Can come read on, it in can, the chat. How would you pronounce that? I'm legendarily known for not pronouncing things right because I've got Erica Adams syndrome, which is dyslexia.
No, it's Gavin Felch. You've got it. Now that I can see it, I will be able to do that. Those, like,
But actually, just to clarify, I did name the room Gavin Felch.
Yeah.
The Felch part I knew was the joke. I legitimately thought this guy's name was Gavin, though. That's
so we're all
I
just
think.
Messed up here.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing: is his superiors are going to give him a number soon, so you don't have to remember this.
That's true. I'm just saying the beginning of this episode might have been a little easier if we were covering a stormtrooper like, I don't know, Jeff.
Jesus Christ.
I wish we were covering Jeff. Maybe next month.
Jesus Christ, can we just get back to talking about Felch?
Yes, of course. Yes. So at this point, he's in the Southern Mansion, kind of making a little fuss there, and he wakes up next to a dead girl. I'm talking about Felch Lives.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Hal Holbrook was there.
Yes.
The Klan's in that first movie, isn't he?
In the second one.
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I remember kind of liking it, but I don't know if that's right. I got to go back or
it
not.
It'll be on the main feed at some point, I'm pretty sure.
We could do Felch WLM, Felch Liz WHM.
Oh, I like that.
Absolutely, definitely.
We'll do that whenever that fabled Felch remake ever happens. Remember, how many actors have been through that? It was Jason Lee at some point.
Jason Lee was the first one, and then I don't know who the there was an interim one, and
there
now
was,
it's,
yeah.
And then and
it
now
an
it's
acting,
John Hamm.
An acting Felch.
John Hamm is now.
John Hamm, you say?
John Hamm is the one who is currently in the role.
No, well, he's too busy debasing himself on progressive commercials.
Of course. Yes, debasing himself in that pool of money. That
but
pool of
progressive,
money.
Reach out if you want ads on the main feed.
Sure.
That's what
we
the money's for.
Ourselves.
Yes.
So what the fuck was I talking about?
Davin was doing really well at flight school or something.
AT-AT training. Kind of the opposite of flight school.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Ground school.
Tank school, kind
of. On a dry run during which he commanded one of these massive machines. So he's like behind the wheels of an AT-AT here. He's doing like the AT-AT driver stuff. I always liked those
guys'
costumes. Yeah. Remember those guys' costumes? It's sort of like a white TIE fighter a little bit. But
vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember trooper faces in my mind. Anywho, Davin was surprised when four fighters attacked him. Now, folks at home, he's currently on the Imperial training planet. And one of the cool things, I don't know if this is going to get into it or not, the planet is one of those rare planets in Star Wars where it has all the regular conditions of Earth, you know, so you can train in ice, you can train in deserts. It has multiple climates anyway. So it's unusual to be attacked on an Imperial planet like this. So he's being attacked by these four fighters, and then he's resisting panic and brilliantly planning his strategies. The trooper destroyed the four ships. Shortly thereafter, he found out that the ships had been simulations and that he had been tested by Colonel Veers.
Mm.
Oh.
The officer pulled Felch aside from the others, questioning his tactics. The young man had revealed potential flaws in the AT-AT design.
Oh, no.
Oddly enough,
yeah,
rather
that's
than...
what we're doing.
Yeah, so basically he was like, oh, these fighters are whipping around me. I'm going to like make the AT-AT kneel down so they stop flying under me. And then he tells Veers, like, dude, man, these legs, you know what they could do? They could make, you know... I don't know. Maybe they could do me describing the Hoth battle perfectly. Like they could shoot a thing and tie up the legs. He warns Veers about this.
What if there was a guy named Dak, he would die definitely first. Wait. And then.
So Felch is a whistleblower, kind of?
Yeah, he is, kinda. Dude.
That's wild.
He sees a fault in the Imperial design, tells his superior, and the superior who wants to, I guess, cover it up in order to, you know, help his own career. So Veers has him transferred to the stormtrooper unit.
Get rid of him.
I mean, he was a great AT-AT driver, so it's a real bummer here for Davin Felch.
Well, that shows you what happens.
That's what we do to whistleblowers here in the galaxy. We get rid of them.
So he was sent to the arid planet of Tatooine. Gavin was assigned the number 1023.
Ooh, as a nice one.
Yes, it's not bad. I put that to the rafters after he says, "Look, sir, droids." No one can be that number again.
Yeah, you gotta retire that stormtrooper jersey.
So as stormtroopers were referred to numbers, but instead of names, he was issued the armor of the Desert Sands Stormtroopers, commonly called the Sand Troopers. Kind of the same thing, except you get a chunky backpack and you get like a nice little orange shoulder pad thing.
Who is this asshole blowing the lid off my AT-AT program? That, you know what? Send him to that shitwater place that I grew up. Oh, actually, I know someone else grew up in. Not me, though.
not me, no. I couldn't be Anakin Skywalker. That is not
You know, I'm never even going to look up what my brother was doing. Never, ever, ever.
You know, it's sad that the 90s didn't render us at least one Star Wars legal thriller. Like, Mark Ruffalo has to defend the AT-AT guy when Hoth happens.
Oh, totally, dude.
I would watch that. A Star Wars courtroom drama, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, dude, like a Star Wars paperwork movie.
They covered it all up!
Okay, here it is. Court Martial, a Star Wars story, a five-part limited edition series.
Of course. Right.
I could get down on this, dude. I would totally
do it. But Mark Ruffalo has to do it. If there's an angry lawyer out there, Mark Ruffalo has to play him.
Absolutely.
And he says, any chance that guy gets to be kind of a little fat, he's like, I'll do it. I'll take the role.
You want to be fat and righteous, man? You know it.
So Davin was then reassigned by Captain Tarek to the scout unit Zeta. Tarek led the Zeta unit and oversaw Alvin and Drak squads.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I guess these are code names for the various little battalions of stormtroopers. Their task was to search and destroy, and in this particular instance, to find an escape pod that had jettisoned from a rebel ship. Imperial computers were already mapping trajectories of the pod as the troopers touched down to the desert. Giant dewback lizards had been grav lifted in to help the sand troopers cover more territory among the dunes. Hours passed, and they continued to their search of endlessly shifting terrain. We haven't found shit. After one false alarm, it was Davin who found the escape pod, and moments later, he found something else, even more important, a piece of an R2 unit. Look, sir, droids.
Woo! He said it!
He told Tarek that, and the Zeta unit followed a set of wandering tracks that eventually led them to a giant hauler of the Tatooine natives, the Jawas.
Ooh, shit.
The Jawas used this as their home and mobile droid scavenging facility. Davin and his fellow troopers searched the sandcrawler but could find no sign of any R2 units nor the protocol droid they were also seeking. Tarek questioned the Jawa leaders.
Oh, man. I would love to see a Jawa under the hot lamps, dude, just being questioned.
Well, it's kind of like it's kind of like Danny DeVito in LA Confidential, just like getting the shit kicked out of him in a little chair.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's fallen on the floor. Nobody helps him back up. Yep.
So Tarek questioned the Jawas. Now, it's interesting that the Captain Tarek of the Stormtroopers, he gets to keep his name. He doesn't get a number. I don't know why. But he looks like a Stormtrooper, just so you understand.
Okay. But if you're a Stormtrooper, could you never be a guy in a little hat? Did that never happen?
I think maybe eventually. I'm not too sure. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's good to be in Stormtroopers, and it's probably hard to jump out of that.
Got it.
Yeah.
So Tarek questioned the Jawa leaders, however, ascertaining that the two droids had been sold to a moisture farmer named Owen Lars.
Oh, fuck.
As his men moved on, Tarek ordered the stormtroopers to fire on the Jawa sandcrawler and kill all inside.
Jesus.
Then plant evidence that would make it appear that the roving Tusken raiders had attacked the diminutive
scrambles. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm.
a false flag here at the Jawa camp. It was not the Tusken. Yeah, it was very convenient for it to be the Tusken Raiders.
Operation Gladio is happening right here, right now, folks. Right under the Emperor's orders.
That's right. There were no Jawas that were killed in that desert. They're still out there with their money, financing, getting their droid parts, doing who knows what.
So it's like, oh, man, good job on finding that droid. Why don't you commit a little genocide for us? Thank you so much. Your things are looking up for you, Davin.
Yeah.
You so had a murder for us?
Davin's heart was heavy, okay?
Oh, he didn't want to do it.
He hadn't joined the Imperials to kill innocent beings. Mm. Davin and the other troopers boarded cargo skiffs and quickly thereafter arrived at the Lars homestead.
Oh, it's going to get worse for you, Davin.
So you see now how Davin went from Luxor droids to, yeah, I kind of helped kill those Jawas that Ben Kenobi burned in the desert. And yes, I'm going to Owen Lars. Let's see what happens next.
Yep.
After the troopers.
Doesn't he kind of remind you, this guy, a little bit? Just kind of, does it remind you a little bit of Darth Vader? Like a little bit? Isn't it weird? Like, does anyone else get that? Like, I just look a little bit. Like, something in the eyes. Yeah. The way he talks.
The rhythm of his speech. Yeah,
it's like almost that they're like half brothers.
They both have that kind of weird desert twang.
You know, I'll never forget that time I walked in and I just remember Darth Vader saying, oh, I miss blue milk. I miss the taste of it. And then, you know, this piece and all together. This is, yeah, it's a conspiracy.
You heard it there, folks. He said it. He said the big C word.
Oh, fuck. All right. So after the troopers had ransacked the house and garages, by the way, ooh, looking for the droids, the feisty moisture farmer did the unthinkable. He spit on Captain Tarek, cursing him.
Wow.
So, yes.
Holy shit.
Owen Lars interrogated by this little battalion of stormtroopers, and he spits in the face of one.
You know, maybe that's because, amazing, like, him and Tarek were buddies, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was a local assignment. He had to go bowling with somebody at some point.
So you're suggesting he has a prior relationship with Tarek?
Yes, and it's like, how dare you come into my house and rough me up in front of my beautiful wife, Beru.
as a reader of the book, he does not have a previous relationship.
That's a bummer.
Do you think, like, when he got the spit hit the stormtrooper, like, the windshield wipers on that helmet to, like, get that spit out of the eyes? Or?
The book actually details that he just let it drip down and stay there.
Well,
didn't give a shit.
Knowing this useless fucking armor, he probably got wet.
Oh, probably went right through it. Do you think that Owen Lars belted out of one of those fucking great, like, fuck you?
Oh, yeah.
Popping fuck you? Like, not just a fuck you, but like a fuck you. Mm-hmm. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah. No, they heard it in the next house over, like in the next farm over. They're like, wow, Owen's really aggravated today.
Eric, not only did they get the popping fuck you, they got a whole sovereign citizen speech from Owen.
Oh, I bet he's libertarian diatribe.
This is my land. The fucking emperor doesn't have any fucking rights here.
Yeah, it's
the room. By the way, is just smoking a cigarette. Do your worst, shrimp dick. The fuck do I care what you do?
Yeah, she's got a Minions shirt on.
Oh, she's definitely. Letting him know it.
Light me up, motherfuckers. See if I care. I'm wearing a Minions t-shirt.
You can't hurt me.
Does it look like I value my own life?
Davin knew what was coming. As he boarded the skiff to go to the Mos Eisley spaceport, Davin tried to block out the carnage that followed. Troopers mowed down the farmer and his wife, razing their homestead with laser fire. Davin asked himself what he would do if he was asked to kill in this fashion. Mm. Once they arrived at the busy spaceport, Alvin's squad had been assigned to check checkpoints and entrances to the city. Drax and Zeta squad's jobs were to patrol and search door to door. This one's locked. Move on to the next one.
Mm. I do have to ask Alvin's squad, where is Theodore's squad?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Do they say anything about that, Eric?
Let me check. I'll get back to you in a few months.
Okay, thank you.
Belf questioned a gigantic hairy Tal's Muftak, and then confronted his superior, Lieutenant Almeya. I read this story the other like last week, and I don't even remember any of this. While on patrol, Devin and his backup, 1047, responded to screams issuing from a cantina.
Oh.
Devin expected the bar. So Devin, Luxor Droids is also the guy that walks through the bar that sees Han Solo and all that.
Good for him. Keeps moving. Busy day, and he didn't even... Well, he definitely killed some Jawas, right?
Yes. Those are kind of more like
animals. He stomped some to death. They were like taking pictures, giving thumbs up, you know.
Little Robert De Niro kicks.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, you think he had a necklace of little Jawa ears?
Oh, that'd be nice. I wonder what they look like. I don't think we've seen them.
No, I think you don't take the ears, dude. You take their little light bulb eyes.
Yes. Glow in the dark. A little
yeah, you unscrew their light bulb eyes.
So Devin inspected the bar, seeing an old man and a young boy leaving as he entered. Nothing in the establishment seemed out of the ordinary, though, and Devin returned to the streets. Shortly after, a crazed Jawa made an attack on the troopers.
Wow.
Trooper
last
10...
One, you should have killed me when you had the chance!
Absolutely.
You got a chain gun, dude? Yeah.
Yeah, dude, in this story, they also describe how this little Jawa's got like a blaster that's too big for him, and he's kind of failing at trying to shoot at anyone.
That's cute.
But Trooper 1047 fired, killing the creature. It flew back and like hit a wall. It was pretty cool. Devin wondered again about the overpowering presence of death as he was facing as a stormtrooper. Was this what the Empire was about?
Oh, here we go.
This Devin Felth is really starting to strike me as the Forrest Gump of the original trilogy. Like
he just seems to be
floating through the background.
He used to
of
play college
major
football.
Events. Yeah. He just, oh no, and like fucking Forrest Gump goes to war too. He's got a fucking.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's right.
A staff sergeant who loves him.
Forrest Devin Gump. Did get he got bit. In the war.
Yeah. And then he would later run across the planet for no fucking reason.
Yeah. And then Bubba Felth Shrimp will take over all of the galaxy.
It's got to be better than what's there now. So later in the day, a call was brought through in the comlink that all troopers to respond to Docking Bay 94, where the droids had been found. In the firefight that followed, Devin recognized the men from the bar, including the athletic-looking smuggler and a Wookiee. His superior
said... athletic-looking smuggler, that's great.
Just say he's handsome. Come on.
He's hot. Yeah, exactly.
The story mentioned describes Han Solo like two or three times, and it just constantly like, that athletic-looking guy. Oh, my fucking God. I would fuck him so hard.
Jesus Christ. Like, I look at Luke Skywalker. I don't think, man, that guy runs. I'm like, no, that guy's hot and he probably fucks. Like, that's my first thought. Although he doesn't, it turns out.
But his superiors said that they were the rebels. Could these few individuals have caused the Empire this much trouble? As the fighting went on, Devin was forced to make a decision. Captain Tarek had drawn a bead on the smuggler from the cantina and was sure to kill him. Striking back against the man who had poisoned his life with evil, Devin made the captain his first kill. So he does a friendly fire. He shoots his superior officer in the back here.
Wow.
Incredible. That's stunning
fucking
stuff.
Fucking hero. As the freighter took off, and see, this is the thing. Look at that. You couldn't have Star Wars without Devin Felth. Like, they wouldn't have destroyed the Death Star, killing thousands like him.
Really, all of his friends, too. Yeah, for sure.
As the freighter took off and the troopers retreated, Devin was filled with a new sense of purpose. He had found a new course. The rebels were right. The Empire was evil. But maybe by leaking information to the rebellion from within the ranks of the Empire, the stormtrooper named Devin Felth, not 1023, could regain his drive and reclaim his life. So we are saying that the reason why Luke Skywalker and Dead Meat fired those lines and tied up the AT-AT's feet is because of Devin Felth's intelligence.
Oh, whatever.
That is the end of the entry, and I hope to God in heaven that they recanonize him, or I'm going to freak the fuck out like all those guys on Reddit who don't like Kenobi for whatever reason.
Yeah, just become freak the totally fuck out, unhinged. Chris.
Totally unhinged, dude. Do it.
I'm going to do it. Freak the
go
fuck
it.
Out.
Go
I'm going to. I'm going to dislike things despite myself. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I'm going to be obsessively obsessing over them and watching every fucking frame. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to hate them. This has been an entry of the Gleep Glossary. What does any parting shots? What have we learned today, Steven?
Well, yeah. I mean, I do think that Andrew had a good point that we treat whistleblowers the same way like the Empire. That's a yeah. So that's that. You know, that'll stick with me for a while. Yep. That's about it. Yep.
All right, Andrew, what are you thinking here?
Oh, you know, the old thing. You realize being on the, you know, these Gleep Glossary teachings, such as they are, you know, in Star Wars, there's no small roles, only small minds, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. And there's only
I can't wait for this dude's fucking comic line. It's gonna be awesome.
Small minds, small balls. Perfect segue to Chris Cabin. Chris Cabin, what are you thinking?
Hello. I think, you know, eventually we're definitely going to see this guy in some form.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Because if not, I'm going to freak out.
The younger Cordry maybe plays him in some, you know,
oh, and Nate Cordry playing Davin Felth. Yep.
That
yep.
sounds right, about yeah. right.
You just did
as,
it.
As a revolutionary. Although, like I said, I much prefer getting Mark Ruffalo cast as the lawyer for the rebellion, you know, Bork Harfost. Sure. That would be great. Get yeah. him, and he should be there should be a lawyer movie about this. We're doing everything else, do a lawyer movie.
I agree. I would like to know more about space law.
But to be clear, I didn't learn anything about Star Wars from this. But I did think about that movie.
Wait. Let me look back at this entry. I must have taught you something here.
No, not a thing. I was thinking about the Mark Ruffalo movie.
But at Caradia, that's the Imperial training plan. You didn't know that before today.
What was that?
And until next time, I've been Eric Siska.
Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Chris Cabin.
Now go and shoot yourself. You, especially Chris.